Greetings, everyone. This is Eugene B. Colson of Mind Controlled America radio show on the BBS Internet Radio Network. What we're going to be talking about is government mind control. If anybody has seen Denzel Washington's movie Manchurian Candidate, you are witnessing CIA, MKUltra, Monarch mind control. This was all designed by Joseph Mengele. And when they brought him over to the United States under Operation Paperclip, Joseph Mengele was trying to create the ultimate mind-controlled warrior. That's what he was really doing. Well, the OSS, which became the CIA, then had him teach them how to do mind-control techniques on people. And they usually started with children, five or younger. And what they do is they torture, rape, brutalize, terrorize a child till his mind splits in a thing called repressed memory syndrome. And that when they take that split mind and they can program it like a computer. And this is what was done to me when I was five by the good old last rank held Special Ops Advisory Major General Creel Helton. Now, Creel Helton was also responsible for the mass murders of over 30 women in Claremont County, Ohio, from, I believe, 1971 till 1980. They do have a man in prison, which they fingered for the 8 of the murders, but he wasn't the mastermind. Creel Helton was the mastermind. And it was never reported on the national news. It only made the local news and the local papers. It never got beyond that. Now, if I accuse someone on this or name names, and those individuals want to tell me and come on this show and say they're not involved in that, we'll both do a oath on the Bible and based on our salvation in the hereafter or whatnot. And then they can recant that my memory was incorrect, and all the intelligence people, military and retired CIA individuals who told me this information, why, we'll give them the opportunity to correct the situation. Now, in my case, I was programmed mostly for the military. My Eugene B. Colson is my SEAL and Delta Force operational name. That's Eugene with a G, a U. And if you want to email, you may email me at Eugene B. Colson, UGENEBCULSON. And please keep it brief because the government has a financial war on me, and the only place I can use a computer is at the library. Now, my Delta Force operational name is Brigadier General Eugene B. Colson. My Force Recon operational name is Lieutenant General Oil T. Browning. And I wrote 3 editions of the classified book, Advanced Infantry Tactics, under that name. My Green Beret operational name is General James T. Wheeler, made famous as Captain Wheeler at the Battle of Jackass Straits. My Ranger operational name is General Lindsey Thompson, made famous as Lawrence of Afghanistan as Major Thompson during the Russian-Afghan War. And I did meet Osama bin Laden in 1979 when he worked for the CIA over in Afghanistan. My Air Force operational name is Flight Commander Hal Philip Tompkins, full bird. I am not fully pilot qualified, but if you're Delta Force or SEAL rated, you can fly the simulator, you go up in the real deal. Now, I wrote the classified book, Advanced Fighter Tactics, under that name. And I've also, in 1991, when I was ferried to and from Gulf 1 in the SR-71, for the Scud Command Center mission, where we had a 3-second window with World War III with Russia, and I had already sliced and diced an Iraqi sergeant, 2 lieutenants, and a captain, and there were only the major and the colonel left. And Schwarzkopf was screaming at the top of his lungs, do not slice and dice the major, because if the colonel doesn't talk, we need him to get us the keys to get in the computer, get the coordinates, because if one bio was on its way to Israel, Israel was going to launch its nukes on Russia and its enemies. Russia nukes us. We all die. We were at DEFCON 2 in the Middle East. All hardened silos and subs were at DEFCON 2. The rest of the Air Force world was at DEFCON 3, which means the pilots are on the planes and they're running, awaiting orders to launch. Russia was at DEFCON 3 coming up to 2. And I was operating under direct orders of President Bush Sr. Number one, get the corner to the Scuds any way possible, as fast as possible. And number 2, get my team away safely. Well, when the kernel was a tough nut to crack, and all the pieces that came off of the good major ended up thrown in the lap of the good kernel, and right before his major circumcision, he decided to talk. Every coalition air force was up in the air. Aircraft, helicopters, helos, jets, fighters, cargo aircraft, everybody was up in the air looking for Scuds and awaiting coordinates. And when we got the coordinates of the Scuds, there were 30 Scuds operational. 5 aimed at Saudi Arabia, 25 aimed at Israel. 18 of the 25 aimed at Israel were full bio Scuds. 6 were in launch mode. 1 was 100 feet off the ground when the F-16 got it with its Gatlin-N missiles. Had it gone 200 feet, there were no Patriot batteries in Israel yet at this time. Bush had the football locked and loaded, and his finger was on the button. And he was going to launch World War III. We wouldn't be here. And I'll give God the timing for all that. In fact, I'll give God the credit as to why I'm still alive, because every mission I went on, I should have died. And I did not. And I've done incredible things because God protected me. And the bad guys knew this, too. So they'd always put me at front and the middle. And if there was a hit on someone they wanted done, they would let me do it before the others. Now, if your listeners are have listened to the George Norrie Show, I emailed every one of the guests on the George Norrie Show that had to do with mind control. And James Casbolt was the only one that emailed me back. Well, we were corresponding on the net for about 2 weeks, and I told James Casbolt, I said, well, so far this year, the government has tried to kill me 13 times. Well, he said, well, I know a lieutenant colonel in North Carolina where you can be safe, and I'll give you that contact information. Well, before I could get it, James Casbolt broke off contact. And so what I a week later, he comes back on and emails me and gives me Lieutenant Colonel SC, who is a guest on the Daniel Ott Show, contact information. I called up Lieutenant Colonel SC, and this was on a Wednesday. I said, I'm coming up to North Carolina from Florida Friday. Well, when I got to North Carolina, Lieutenant Colonel SC was supposed to meet me at a gas station out in the middle of the boonies so he could show me where he lived, because he lives way out in the country. And he was over an hour and a half late, and I just said, the heck with it. I'm going to see if I can find him. I found out that the NSA had detained him for 2 hours in his driveway. And he also told me that James Casbolt, right after he emailed me as to that he was going to give me his contact information for Lieutenant Colonel SC, that he was detained for a week in England by the NSA. Well, I did a radio show, take the radio show on the, his handle is Starbuck. It's equivalent to the Coast to Coast George Norrie Show. And, I can no longer call England. They will not let me call England to James Casbolt or the Starbuck. They try to call me. They cannot get through. An AT&T operator can't even help me get through. They have broken off all contact. And while up at Lieutenant Colonel SC's place, he has one of the government computers. And it is the most powerful laptop you've ever seen in your life. And I asked him if I could email, check my emails on his home computer. He said, no, use this one. I said, you sure? You may get into some big trouble. He goes, no. So I emailed Anthony Hilder, because Anthony Hilder had called up Lieutenant Colonel SC about a month before me getting up there. And Lieutenant Colonel SC said, hey, how did you get my number? He says, well, I was just given to me. He says, well, you're probably a victim of CIA MK Ultra. Now, to back up just a little bit, before I went up to North Carolina and met this Lieutenant Colonel SC, I, because of his voice, I remembered who he was. I recognized him in my mind, and I said, I used to call you Ichabod Crane. He goes, well, a lot of people call me that. That was the handle that I gave him. Him and I were snipers. We did numerous sniper missions together. He was a much better shot. He was probably the finest shot the country's ever had as far as snipers go. And he remembered me. When we met, we recognized each other, and we took it from there. Well, I emailed Anthony Hilder. And if you disbelieve anything I have to say, I suggest that all you listeners go to reversespeech.com And reverse speech is a tape-recorded message of anyone, and you play it backwards, and you'll actually hear a portion of your thoughts or beliefs come out. Well, I heard it on the Art Bell Show back in 96, so I started, I got the machine. Babies learn to speak backwards first. In toddlers, if you record them when they're doing their gibberish, play it backwards, quite often you'll hear them talking. And with this reverse speech technology, I became quite good at it. And so I ran an Anthony Hilder tape that I had through it. And on one of the clear reversals I got of Anthony Hilder, I'm an officer of the Illuminati. Well, back in 2001, I had contacted Anthony Hilder via email, and I told him I was the main shooter at Waco in the bunker. He got together with me, said he was going to do a film shoot of it. 3 days before we were supposed to get together for the film shoot, Anthony Hilder broke off contact. And I've been over to Anthony Hilder's apartment in 96. He invited me and my ex-wife over for a Valentine's Day party. So I have some history with Anthony Hilder. So I emailed Anthony Hilder and I said this, Anthony Hilder, you are Illuminati. You are involved in all this. I suggest you repent because God wants you to repent. I'm the guy that's been praying that all these guys that have done this to me and my family die of pancreatic cancer, and there is a whole lot of them that are dying of pancreatic cancer. And I found out after I talked to Anthony Hilder, I didn't explain that. Anthony Hilder called me the next day, but after I left Lieutenant Colonel SC's house, they left a death threat on his front porch and were shooting sniper rounds over his head all day long, and the night before, he got 4 death threats on a government computer, and he was really shook up. And I said, well, give him my phone number and tell him to call me up. Well, they didn't. And, you know, I haven't been able to get a hold of him since because he's scared. I have not heard from James Caspold for a while. I hope everything's fine with him. Because I found out in 2000, when the premier satanic event of 2000 was a gross mass ceremony they did on my family. What is a gross mass ceremony? It's a high witchcraft ceremony where the guests of honor get raped all night long and they're forced to eat human fecal matter and drink urine. That's a gross mass. All the top Satanists in the world were at this gross mass ceremony, including the Bushes, the Clintons, the Dalai Lama, Anthony Hilder. I was told Alex Jones was there. And so I told Anthony Hilder he better call me back, and he hasn't. I hear his health is deteriorating, like many of those people that are dying or have died of pancreatic cancer and various other diseases because God is out of his box. He's fed up, and these people are dying. Because that one actor, Patrick Swayze. If you people have ever seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut, now, Kubrick, when he produced and directed that movie, after it came out shortly thereafter, was murdered. Why was he murdered? Because perks for the CIA, Illuminati, Jesuits, and their contractors and related people, they get to go have wild sex orgies at mansions and whatnot. And the women are somebody's wife or daughter during the day who are CIA mind-controlled sex slaves. And they go and they have sex with these women. And they were starting to lose too many of them at strangulation sex. So in 1979, they brought me in to bounce them at a mind control level. And very quickly, I got a reputation as the saint, as being a real martial arts bad guy. So guys that would thought they wanted to see who was the toughest, they'd come in and try me on. And if they kept it to a fist fight, it was a fist fight. If they tried to hurt me, I put them in the hospital or killed them. Patrick Swayze tried me on, I think it was 87, and I put him in the hospital. And then I found out later he did all kinds of terrible things at a mind control level to my ex-wife and children. Now, Steven Seagal, I think it was around 1999 or 2000, there was articles in the LA Times that Steven Seagal was CIA and mafia. So Seagal had hired a mafia hitman to kill this LA Times reporter, and he got caught. And he got put in prison, but nothing happened to Steven Seagal, to the best of my knowledge. Well, Steven Seagal tried me on in 89, and he lasted 3 seconds. Somebody looking a hell of a lot like Chuck Norris was at these parties on a regular basis. Now, maybe he's got a twin out there. I don't know. But he didn't want to try me on, whoever he was. And that's been my life. Now, when I was up at Lieutenant Colonel SC's house, he had a lot of stuff on that computer with pictures of different things. And when he showed me a picture of one of the alien grays, babies, that's when I started to remember. These are the most horrific things you've ever seen in your life. They don't come from outer space. They are made here. Back in 2003, when I was traveling from California to Florida, they had me stop at Area 51. They wanted more tissue samples. So they took me down there to level 1.1. And there was, the building was a mile diameter, round. And it was full of baby girls from infant all the way up to 15 years old. And I said, what are all these girls doing here? They said, oh, these aren't girls. These are clones. God didn't make them. We did. And I said, really? I said, tell me more. They said, well, you can have sex with them if you like. I said, these little girls? They said, no, they're not girls. They're just clones. I said, so you guys have sex with these clones anytime you want to? Well, yeah. I said, oh, so they're just a giant blow-up doll with more features. Well, yeah. I said, well, I don't have a problem with that right now. You bet I had a problem with that right now. And from that moment on, I was plotting how to kill these scientists. I said, show me more. So they took me down into the bowels of sub-level 21.1, where they had all these genetic experiments from, you know, DNA crosses animals, insects with man. And a number of them would be charged in the cage, front of the cage, trying to get at you. Some of them had intellect and could speak. And they'd say, please, help me, help me. And then if you got close enough, you would get your head ripped off. So they'd try to get you because they know what was done to them and they're not happy. So I said, well, what are you doing with all this? They said, well, we're gathering data. I said, what kind of data? Just data. I said, and then what happens when you gather enough data? Well, we end the experiment. Because when we were on level 1.1, they said, well, nothing is wasted here. We recycle everything. They said, even the feces and urine of the girl or the clones is turned into fertilizer. I said, so what happens when you end the experiment? Well, we just end the experiment. I said, oh, so you turn them into fertilizer. Well, yeah. I said, well, how do you do that? They said, we just gas the whole floor. Really? And then I said, well, I don't have a problem with that right now. So then we went up to the control room on sub-level 5.1. And they said, this is the control room for the entire facility. And I said, really? I said, I was being toured with 4 scientists and 2 armed guards. And if you've heard the show several weeks ago when I did it with David Newsom, the basic story I said was correct, but as my repressed memory returns, some of the details will change a little bit. So I said, well, how do you gas them? And 2 scientists had 2 separate keys. And they said, well, we turn the keys and flip 3 switches, and then here's 21 gas switches for each floor. And I said, really? Well, I don't have a problem with that right now. So then they took me back, and as far as you could see, in every direction from this control room, there were rows and rows and rows of beds of 15-year-old girls hooked up to life support and with all these little grays running around taking care of them. And I said, what are these? They said, oh, this is how we make the clones. I said, really? They said, yeah, these girls, when they reach age 13, they have a full-term baby. So that's her replacement. And then the next time they get her pregnant, they take a fetus at 3 or 4 months and remove it from the mother, and they put it in a life support jar, which was on top of the life support unit for the girls. And in the jar was a fetus, and it was hooked up live. It was still alive. And they had all this equipment hooked to the girl, all these tubes going here, there, and everywhere. And I said, well, what are they doing now? They said, well, this is where we incubate the grays. We take a fetus at 3 months, and we hook a tube into its brain, which was what we call a phlebotomy, fully linked android brain phlebotomy. And we put in this radioactive material called plutonium, with diseases, cancers, viruses, and heavy metals. And what they're creating is a microbiologic computer, because all these heavy metals are attaching themselves to the proteins on these viruses and diseases and what's left of the human tissue. Well, the host is dying of radiation poisoning and of all this stuff while they're incubating this android. And at 3 months, they have to cut it out of it, because if they didn't, it would try to eat its way out of the womb, and then they both would die. So they remove it in an operation they call a sectomy. And I said, really? Well, I don't have a problem with that right now. So they took me back to the nursery, and you had to put in earplugs. You had to wear very elaborate earmuffs, because when you walk in that room, the screech of these things will burst your eardrums. And they're all drinking this red liquid instead of milk in bottles. And they're being taken care of by all these other grays. And then when one gray wants to download information to another, they just touch foreheads. It's like ants. And because some of their DNA is insect as well as other animals when they do the phlebotomy. So I said, what's that red liquid in those bottles? They said, well, that's blood from the host. I said, oh, really? So you feed it blood? They go, yes. I said, well, what's its first solid meal? They said, oh, well, that's the fetus above each life support unit. That's the first solid meal. I go, really? Well, I don't have a problem with that right now. And I said, what does it eat after that? Well, we feed it part of the host. He says, you don't have to worry about it. We're very kind about this, because, you know, the girl never feels a thing. And the baby, we give it we sedate it. And I said, really? Well, I don't have a problem with that. They said, you should be very honored at all this. I said, why should I be honored? They said, because these are all clones of you. All these clones that they're making grays. I go, really? Well, I don't have a problem with that right now. Then they took me over to the nursery, where they had hundreds and hundreds of these toddler grays in this room. And you could see remains of one of the 15-year-old hosts. And I said, well, what's that? Oh, that's one of the hosts. You know, we feed it to all of them eventually. And they had little monkey bars and all that kind of stuff. And it had a camera on the other side of the room, directly in front of the door. It was a steel door, 4 foot wide, had about a 2-foot by 2-foot glass window in it. And I said, hey, you know, can you control that camera from your computerized clipboard that you're controlling the control room? Oh, yeah, no problem. I said, hey, why don't you focus it on me on the in the window. I want to see what I look like on camera. And they go, oh, no problem. So they do it. And I said, hey, that's pretty good. And then I asked them, I said, I thought you said these things were to be asexual, because they're all males. And the reason they're all males is because if they created a female one of these, you'd have to deal with the uterus. And these things are walking biological weapons. If you're in a room with these things and you breathe, they breathe on you too closely, you're going to die. If one of these things bites you, it's going to be faster and more painful than the Komodo dragon. You're going to die. In fact, the grays were working around on the floor with all the hosts. They had elaborate respirators on. And these are supercomputers. They can do incredible things, but they cannot out-creatively think man. And I said, where did these things come from? They said, oh, well, they were made before Noah's flood. I go, really? I said, yeah, the crash at Roswell was when one of these crashed, and the aliens died, but we reverse-engineered them. I said, really? Because they look different now than they did then. And they said, we can't duplicate the anti-gravity devices of the flying saucers that they have, but we can make the grays even better. So let's get back to the toddler room. Above the door, it was written, Chucky's Playpen from Hell. And I'm looking in the window, and I said, I thought you said these things were asexual. And they go, well, yeah, they are. I said, I see one with a little penis over there. They go, really? Where? I go, over there. And these four scientists are looking in the window. I said, no, it's over there. You got to open the door. So he had a key, unlocked the door. It had no handle on the inside, and it had a 6-foot metallic pad that was electrified when the door was open so that these things would not come onto it. And I said, no, he's over there. So these four scientists crowd in front of this door, and I shove them in and slam the door behind them, and I turn around, and I crush the larynxes of both armed guards. And they're banging on the window, please let me out, And I said, I'll let the guy out that's got the other set of keys. So I opened the door, let him out, and pounded on the other three for a little while. And I said, give me the keys. He gives me the keys. So I pounded on him, knocked him down. He said, I thought you said you were going to let me out. I said, yeah, I did let you out. I didn't say I wasn't going to throw you back in. So I threw him in the room. And then I went and grabbed the two. They were either 9mm or 40 calibers handguns because they had the large capacity magazines. And I ran to the control room, and I hit the main alarm. And I said, hurry, hurry, there's been a terrible accident. Send everybody. Well, when they came down, it was probably somewhere around 20 scientists, two armed guards, and a big muscly gray. And they said, what happened? I said, they went into the toddler's playpen from hell, and they have the keys inside, and they can't get out. And they go, and they turn the camera on, and they're going, oh, my God. I said, why don't you send Mr. Enforcer down there to go rescue them? So they send him down. I tell him, don't run, because we want him in one piece. And as he walked out of the door, I held the door open with a foot with both hands. I pulled two handguns, and I'm pointing one at the soldiers and one at the gray, the muscly one. And I put about 8 to 10 rounds in it, because if you're Delta Force or SEAL, you're trained to area shoot. You can be looking at one direction, but you memorize what's around you, and you can quite accurately hit something without even looking at it. In this case, I was looking in between the V arc that I held both handguns with, and I told the guards to drop their weapons and leave, and they did, and I slammed the door shut, and then I proceeded to shoot all the other scientists in the knee. Originally, I thought I'd beat on them. Well, I didn't. More memory came back, so this is a little different from the show I did with Donald Newsom, because I remember more now. Because when you remember repressed memory, it doesn't come all at once. Sometimes it's like a fog, a haze, a dream, and then as it becomes clearer and clearer, eventually it's like yesterday. So I shot all these guys in the knee, these scientists, and every one of these scientists had crazy eyes. They looked like mass murderers, pedophiles, mass rapists, because they were. And one guy was so white, I said, how long have you been down here? He says, I haven't left this facility for 17 years. And so I went to I turned both keys to arm the gas. I flipped both switches to arm the gas. And then one at a time, I flipped all the floors from 21 all the way up to 1.1. But I was having a nervous breakdown at the time, because I was going to have to gas all these thousands of little girls. And I prayed to God to forgive me, and it was the most merciful thing I could have done, because if they would have gotten out, they'd have killed them. So I hit the switch. And then I proceeded to go around and then to break everyone's neck that's in the room. I was so angry that I pulled their heads off, and I made a little pyramid for them. And I was in siege mode in the control room. So they had to get someone to talk me out. So who did they get to talk me out? Lieutenant Colonel S.C., and we both started remembering this together. See, Lieutenant Colonel S.C. was regular special ops, but they did the mind control routine to him as well, as they do with several million people in this country. There's a lot of guys in the military that are regular military, but they're Delta Force, Force Recon, and SEAL teams and don't even know it. And they'll do this, the mind control routine, to regular Delta Force, SEAL, and Force Recon personnel as well. When they have them do a mission, they don't want them to remember, you know, like to support the drug trade, which is run by the CIA. And the CIA brings it up to the United States, and the sanction dealers are various mafias, Jewish, Russian, Italian, Cuban, and they're authorized to deal the sanctioned cocaine, as long as nobody deals with unsanctioned cocaine, like from Nicaragua, the Odina cartel, Cuban cocaine, Brazilian cocaine, nobody gets busted. And if somebody does get busted, they release them with the cocaine. But most of these guys are very greedy. And what they do is they start dealing with unsanctioned cocaine so they can make more money. And then they get busted. So as far as how I got out of there, once Lieutenant Colonel S.C. Came in to talk me out, I don't know what happened from there. And I didn't remember none of this until about 5 weeks ago, when I was up at Lieutenant Colonel S.C.'s house. Now, remember those mafia guys that got arrested in New York, New Jersey, and Sicily? There were 167 on February 7th and 9th. Why were they arrested? They were arrested because they tried to have a very prominent good guy in the world killed. And they were partners with the Bushes and the Clintons in the illegal drug trade, from what I'm told by numerous sources. And if President Bush wants to come on this radio show and say that everything I heard and everything I remembered was incorrect, well, fine, we'll do our little biblical oath, and I'll welcome him on. And so they were arrested before they tried to kill someone. And every election that Hillary Clinton had won in the primaries through February 11th was rigged. She was supposed to be president. She was chosen by the Jesuits. And she was the keynote speaker, for what I'm told, at the Bilderbergers the year before the election. Well, because they tried to have this gentleman killed, he put enough political pressure to bear on this country so that elections were made free. And so that's what we have at this point in time, except for Kentucky and West Virginia, I was told, was rigged. Now, I was watching the count live when Kentucky was on the air, and it was like 140,000 for Obama, 160,000, 70,000 for Hillary. And then it went up to 151,000 for Obama and higher for Hillary. And then the next segment that came on, it was 140,000 for Obama and the rest for Hillary. That was right on TV, right in front of us, just like Waco. What really happened at Waco, Texas? David Koresh and company were all victims of CIA Operation Monarch. And you can look this up on that net, M-O-N-A-R-C-H. And what happened was David Koresh broke them free. Because where do they hide people like me? We usually hide us in religions as religious nuts, like I used to be. I was a member of Worldwide Church of God. Because when Mommy and Daddy decided they didn't want to be in the Satanic Coven anymore, they made a deal, and I was their price out. They were given a list of organizations that they could join, because you don't get out of the coven feet first. You're 6 feet under if you try to walk away completely. So they chose Worldwide Church of God. And I've been told this by countless intelligence people, military active, inactive, retired, that Worldwide Church of God was a Gambino Mafia CIA front organization, was a clearinghouse of mind control victims, of people like me. And when I started to realize this, and I found it all with the reverse speech machine, I started running sermon tapes from Worldwide Church of God evangelists and leaders through the reverse speech machine. Not only were I finding out that they were CIA mafia, they were satanic priests, they were into anything and everything criminal and illegal. And David Koresh and company were victims of the monarch. And he realized that and was attempting to break them free. So what had happened was they would not be able to stop the lawsuit. That's why they were murdered. And they were murdered by Delta Force. Now, there was a group in Canada, you can look it up on the internet, 1990, Toronto radio station helped several hundred people break free. And they sued the Canadian government, federal government, and the CIA and won multiple millions. Well, if Koresh and company brought the deepest, dirtiest secret out to the entire nation of the mind control and how much they use it on people and abuse people with it, it would have blown the lid off the whole thing. That's why they were murdered. Now, how were they murdered? Remember that APC that was parked out front for a long time, the boxy one, the 70s-style Vietnam-era armored personnel carrier? That APC had a 4x4 hatch in the deck. And I was in that APC with Major General Charles L. Neath, Delta Force support commander. I was wearing a chem suit and a fire retardant suit over that. And I went down there at a mind-controlled level, and I put 150 rounds, four-way split rounds, from M16A1B. So those bodies can be exhumed. And if they didn't cut out all the wounds from them, they will find four-way split rounds in Koresh and the children. Threw in three combustion grenades, and then the guy behind me had a U.S. Army standard-issue flamethrower. He flamed it, created a backdraft. It shot up the stairs, pulled all the flames with it, and then came back down and fully engulfed him. I barely got out of there without getting fried. And somebody would say, well, how could someone like me do such terrible things? Because they drugged me, and they've been doing this to me since I was five. and I'm mad as hell, and I'm going after them. Now let's go to Ruby Ridge. I don't know why it went down at Ruby Ridge, but our fine Major General Charles L. Meek, who wish if he would like to come on this show and do a show with me, that would be great, because I understand he's dying of pancreatic cancer. And Ron Horiuchi was not the shooter. I was. And I picked the configuration point because Randy Weaver was running up the stairs. His wife had opened the door, and she was so short and small that she was behind the door, and I didn't know it because I picked the crosshairs of the four-panel window at the top of the door as my firing configuration point on a moving target. I had a Remington M16 long rifle series 4. It was a 550-meter shot, which is like a chip shot with that weapon. And once I realized that I had accidentally killed Weaver's wife, and I believe the baby, too, I had a nervous breakdown, and I tried to kill Major General Charles L. Meade. Well, they gang-tackled me and hyped me out. Now, let's go back to Jonestown, Guyana. What really happened there? And I've heard Congressman Hansen. Well, we'll get to Congressman Hansen in a second. Jonestown, Guyana, everybody there was a victim of CIA Project MK Ultra. They were all mind control victims. And they broke Jonestown when they broke ground on a Russian ICBM base 90 miles away. They were going to have a Russian ICBM base right at the top of South America. And so they started Jonestown, and all these people went down there. And they had to create a cover to bring in military forces to take care of, you know, this Russian ICBM base. So they had everybody at Jonestown. They did drink the Kool-Aid. It had no cyanide in it. If you took cyanide, you'd break your own back, arms, legs, everything. That's why when people get executed under cyanide poisoning, they have them strapped down. They're giving them 50% drugs and 50% cyanide so that you don't have to watch them break their own bones from the muscle contortions. You remember, everybody was in circles and in rows of families. Well, what they did was they took three MK-Ultra shooters called the Three Stooges, me being one. We went around with 22 grease guns, and we put a 22 long rifle behind the right ear. In my case, it was 239. All right. And the congressman and his two aides saw what was going on, and they decided to get out of Dodge. So the orders were to shoot them in the chest, not to spoil their faces for the funeral. And the plane that they show on that, that he was supposed to get on, that little computer plane, no, that wasn't what he was supposed to get in. He was getting in a little like Cessna. And so they created an excuse to bring down Texas National Guard to air evac the bodies. Well, it wasn't Texas National Guard. It was four companies of Rangers, four companies of Green Beret. This was the first Delta Force mission, and SEAL Team 1 through 5 were already there. And Congressman Hansen, I've heard him on the radio show, the Lou Epstein show in Vegas, say he talked to the soldiers that offloaded the bodies in Maryland, and they told him, he said, for people who died of cyanide, they all got a 22 wound behind the right ear. And he spent numerous years in prison because he knew too much and was trying to go after our fine, you know, constitutional CIA, which would never do anything illegal. Now, so we had 1,100 people, and we blew the fence and did a hand strike. Everybody ran in the middle of the complex. Well, I had a Remington M16 long rifle, series 2, with sound suppression, and it's a big gun. It's 4'10", 16 pounds empty, fires caliber 273. It's got enough powder in it that's equivalent to a short 50 caliber weapon. And I was to skirt the outside of the fence of the ICBM base and take out the four corner towers, and then the two angled machine gun nests, which were about 12 feet off the ground with sandbags, where the Russians had 51s. They had a gunner, a loader, and then a guy with a guard with an AK. And they were so busy shooting at everybody in the center, they didn't realize that I was skirting the fence, taking them out. And the lights went out before I could get to tower number 6, or machine gun nest number 6. And so I ended up underneath it, and so I ended up just putting three rounds in three of the legs, and which shattered them. And then I put three rounds, and it kind of fell, went sideways a little bit, and three rounds up through the deck. And the gunner in the, or the guard in the loader ended up jumping out. The gunner in front of me, the guard behind me. And when I turned to try to get him, he hit me in the head with a rifle butt, and he was attempting to crush my skull. Well, I had a bayonet behind my back, and fortunately I was able to pull it out and give him a liver operation. And that's really what happened at Jonestown. The fine Jimmy Carter, and Jimmy Carter, I'd love to have you on the show so you can discount everything that's being said. So if everything I remember and everybody that was in intelligence, and a whole lot of people in military and CIA intelligence knew about what really happened at Jonestown, well, I'll give you the opportunity because you're running around the world doing your little wonderful penance actions for Habitat for Humanity when you ordered the murder of 750 men, women, and children who were mostly black, and now you think you're such a good man. Well, you know, when you went over there to meet with the PLO, yeah, that was exactly where you belonged. You belong with people like that. Because you think you're a humanitarian, you're not. You're evil, and I pray to God every day you rot in hell for it. And so and let's go back to Jonestown. Remember, 2 days later, they said, well, there weren't approximately 750 bodies. There were approximately 950. That's because there were approximately 196 American casualties at that Russian ICBM base that were killed. There were something like 536 Russians, but they all died. And the whole place was dismantled with demolition charges. And the CIA does this for, because they can. They have no oversight. They have unlimited funding because they're making money from the drug deals, insider trading deals. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want, with no accountability. In fact, when I was at level 1.1 over there in Area 51, they said, well, you know, a lot of people that are connected with the CIA, the DOD, the Illuminati, and all those guys, they can come down here and have sex with these clones anytime they want. That's one of their perks. Well, as far as I'm concerned, those clones are people. And there were little girls and little clone boys, and they murdered them. And I hope God brings them back in the second resurrection, because these were victims. Even the Greys started out as a 3-month-old clone fetus of a person. Now, before they learned the ability to clone, they were using regular people and regular babies to create these Greys, because they look different now than they did in the 50s and the 60s. That's because they're getting better and better, if you can say that, about what they create with these little monsters. And, you know, if you were to shoot one of them, let's say you see one and you were to shoot it, you better get out of Dodge because you just unleashed a biological weapon. You will die. These things are designed to be biological weapons and supercomputers. And the CIA does this because they can. And Anthony Hilder, why, if you're not one of those guys, why don't you come on the show and let's do a show with you and me? Because many, many of these guys are dying of pancreatic cancer since 2000. And God is taking them out. I've been told that 7 heads of the Federal Reserve Board have pancreatic cancer. I've been told that Bush Sr. has pancreatic cancer. Bush Jr. has prostate cancer. And many heads of industry and banking are dying of pancreatic cancer. And I've gotten it from numerous different sources. Jack McLam was one. Professionals, accountants that deal with a lot of rich people. Just start checking, seeing how many of these people are dying of pancreatic cancer, like good old Patrick Swayze. And Patrick Swayze, if you weren't part of this, well, let's get on this show. And then I'll discount everything I said. But you're going to have to make a biblical oath based on your eternity to do that. And let's go back to Worldwide Church of God. Most, if not all, of the evangelists at Worldwide Church of God were involved in this. Herbert Armstrong traveled around the world in the 60s and 70s and 80s meeting with world leaders. And they tell us wonderful church members, oh, they tell him his wonderful message of peace. Not really. He was a back channel source for the United States government. And in 73, if you remember the shuttle diplomacy that Kissinger did between Tel Aviv and Cairo, well, Herbert Armstrong was in the opposite place each time. It was the good guy, bad guy routine with Henry Kissinger. And it was common knowledge to people who worked in Pasadena for Worldwide Church of God that the pilot for the G3 was a CIA pilot. And they were involved in the drug smuggling, everything. It was all to get money out of the United States government through the black channel sources, these black ops things. And this is how our government operates. And quite a few of, most of the government people know this. Well, my suggestion to you guys is you better start repenting. And I would like to see you repent, but you're going to have to make full admission you're going to have to make a public apology to me and those connected with me. Now, one gentleman I'm dealing with in Missouri is Steve Davis. And Steve Davis has been on numerous radio shows. Steve Davis has been trying to expose the Mormon Mafia and what the Mormon Church really is up to for years. He grew up in that church. He was supposedly accidentally shot by his father when he was 12. They had to put a steel plate in his head. He has told me Eisenhower came to visit him shortly thereafter and told him, it's a good thing you have this plate in your head because they were going to do the mind control thing to him. And from what I've been told, Eisenhower put restraints on the Federal Reserve banking system right before he died or before he left office. And Steve Davis has, and in fact, the next future show I do is I'm going to have Steve Davis on the air, and he can explain it to him yourself. He's, the past 2 weeks, he's been having meetings or phone conversations with Orrin Hatch and Senator Martinez in Florida, getting us the settlement in this, because Steve Davis used to be one of the owners of the biggest gold mine in the United States, and he told me it was stolen by the Mormon Mafia and the Bushes. And he's in negotiations to get that back and get a settlement for me and others connected with us. So, you know, the United States government, you have your opportunity now to repent. If you don't want to repent, then, you know, okay, that's fine with me. Then you can deal with God because he's not real happy with what this country has been doing. And the United States is not alone in this. All your major countries do the same thing. The Mossad is very big into it. The Mossad, from what I've been told, is planning to try to kill Pope Benedict and then blame it on the Muslims so that more war, more hate. I've been told that the Mossad was in on 9/11. Ansel's and the CIA were part of that as well that funded it. Al-Qaeda is the name of a file. It was actually Taliban. If your listeners remember rumors about a Al-Qaeda team that was captured on 12/24/01 at about 3 in the morning setting charges on bridges in New York. They were specifically caught at the base of the pylon nearest, well, I think it's the east side. I'd have to look at a map. But there were 13 men placing charges on bridges. And one was in the boat. He was killed. So 12 were captured, and they were pulled out of the water. And we took them to a facility on a dock, and that's where the interrogation took place. Who led the interrogation? I did. I sent the personnel to go to a toy store and break the windows out if necessary and bring me 12 Mr. Potato Head dolls, 6 male and 6 female. And so I had, these guys were duct taped chairs at their elbows so their hands were free. So I would marry the two of them up, and one would get the male one, one would get the female one. They had to put them all together. Well, the interrogation was when one took off a piece from the other one, that piece was cut off of his then mated wife. And pretty soon I had them cutting pieces of each other off. And the last one, the main guy, he was not tortured. Everything was done to the guy in front of him. And I said, this is what's going to happen to you if one charge goes off, if you don't tell us where they all are. And then I explained that he would be put on life support, and they would keep him alive as long as possible while feeding him pieces of himself. And so he talked. What they did with him after that, I don't know, because they found all the charges. But that brings the question to my mind, is how did we know they were going to do this? Now, was there a cell in the CIA that just tipped us off? Hey, our guys are doing this again. Because, you know, the CIA will play both sides. The CIA runs the Nazi Party, the American Nazi Party. The CIA runs the Ku Klux Klan. The CIA runs the Patriot Movement. The CIA, a lot of the people that are screaming the most, like Alex Jones, who I believe, and I've been told that he is, and if he wants to come on this show, that's fine with me. He's part of it. He's an information disinformation guy. Because I was told that him and Anthony Hilder were at that gross mass ceremony that they did to my family with all the top secrets in the world. Now, let's talk about the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama was a devil worshiper. And I had a friend who was a serious Tibetan Buddhist, and he was very serious for 17 years. He was over in Thailand studying, and when he rose high enough through the ranks, they revealed to him that we don't worship any kind of God. We worship Satan. And that's when he went the other way and became a born-again Christian. So Dalai Lama, you want to come on this show and say you're not a devil worshiper? Hey, get a hold of the radio station, and we will do a show. And once again, I want to say my email address. It's Eugene B. Coulson, UGENEBCULSON at yahoo.com. Email me, but please keep it brief, because, like I said, they have an economic war on me, and I can only go to the library to use their computer. Now, let's get back to Worldwide Church of God. Worldwide Church of God blew up in, well, the early 90s into all these different offshoots. And most of those offshoots, they are still run by the government. They still are clearinghouse for mind control victims. They still are in the money laundering. They're, from what I've been told by a lot of people, military, intelligence, and whatnot, and mafia as well, is that they are all, for the most part, into this. People like Dave Pack in Ohio, Gerald Fleury in the, well, I think it's in Oklahoma. You have Rod Meredith and his group. You have United Church of God and his group. You have David Hume's group. And they're all they do is merchandise people, and they draw them to themselves, and they want you to believe their religious crap, telling them you got secret knowledge, just like the Illuminati and the Jesuits do. They, when they recruit their people, it's all secret knowledge. And if you look at the way Herbert Armstrong wrote his books, Mystery of All Ages, that's similar to the Mystic Teaching of All Times, was written by Manly P. Hall, who is a very famous Mason. And his life's work was that he studied all the pagan religions of the world, and he wrote this work called Mystic Teaching of All Ages. And in it, he says Christianity came from paganism, because there were five very BC son of the sun gods, known as Lamb of God, died for the world's sin. Three were crucified, one was burned at the stake, and one was strangled on March 30th or Easter, and they were all born on December 24th or 25th. And all these religions around the country, and I've been told by numerous CIA operatives, intelligence, military intelligence, mafia personnel, that they've infiltrated most of the churches in this country. And I challenge the listeners to get the software where you can do the reverse speech technology on your computer, or buy one of those reverse speech machines from David John Oates, and start running sermon tapes through it, and you're gonna blow your mind what you're gonna find. Now, when you do this, I have to caution you though, don't do that to each other's mate if you want to stay married, because most of what's coming out is from the subconscious minds, and we think on a very sexual basis. So whenever I hear all this sex stuff when I was doing the reverse speech, as long as it was just, you know, guys wanting to do guy things, which is pretty much what they want to do, and I didn't pay attention, but when I would get reversals of saying, I did this with such and such did this, blah, 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 then I take it very seriously. Now, David John Oates' interpretation of a reversal is it has to do with something with what they're saying forward. I have a much broader interpretation. I'll take whatever I can get. And two people can say the same things on a recorded tape, and you'll have reversals come out quite often different. It doesn't work phonetically. With whatever you said forward will phonetically come just be backwards. It has to do with the subconscious mind. Because how many times have you been in deep conversations with others, and right before you get to say a complete sentence or paragraph, the other person does? That's because at a reverse speech level, at a subconscious part of our brain, that our brains will interact on that. And if you take a baby and just play the reversals of them, record them, as I said earlier, you will quite often hear them talking clearly. Now, I have been told that Area 51 has been on red alert, not lockdown, since several weeks ago. If anybody out there knows anything about that, please let me know. The cursed submarine, that was no accident. I want to ask Richard Marchenko, founder of SEAL Team 6, who was there, that tower, that oil platform in Brazil that went down in 2000, that was no accident. Brazil was getting into the cocaine trade. And, well, why don't you ask Richard Marchenko, who were the other two guys there? And whenever the United States gets competition in the drug trade from someone else, they'll go to that country and take out their assets. And they will do this time and time again. Now, I think that buzz means I have 30 seconds left, so I want to thank you for listening. And my email address is eugenebculson@yahoo.com, eugenebculson. And if you have any information on Area 51 or anything else, please let me know, because I can help people come out of mind control faster than a psychiatrist can. Because I remember what they did, how they did it, and in future shows, I'm going to tell people how to recognize if they are relatives, friends, neighbors, are victims of mind control, because everybody in this country knows someone who is. And I want to see this evil thing end. So I want to thank you for listening. This is the first time I've ever done a radio show before. This is Eugene V. Colson. And I want to thank Don Newsom of the BBS Network. And if you've heard this, please go back to the site and tell your friends or anybody in the military to listen to this, because they're doing this wholesale on military bases. If anybody has children on bases, get them off the base. Because while mommy's at work and daddy's off the war, or vice versa, the wolves are guarding the sheep. And they're doing it to a lot of children on military bases. A lot of children in churches. They don't have to take you to a laboratory. The dumbest CIA operative in the world, all they have to do is follow the book. Use the drugs. Use the torture. And they will create one of me. But they're much better at it now than they used to be. Now they can do it to adults, too, with better drugs, hypnotic hoods, virtual reality hoods. They could actually do it to adults as well. But they won't get the quality, if you want to call it, quality of a killer like me by doing it just to adults. They have to start when you're young. And that's what they did with me with good old Creole Helton, who I heard has pancreatic cancer as well, as many of the other ones. I've heard a number of the ministers and evangelists at Worldwide Church of God have pancreatic cancer. And if you don't, then it's coming. If you're part of this operation and you don't repent, you're going to deal with God a lot sooner than you think, and you're not going to like it. And hopefully I'm going to be one that gets to watch. So if you have any questions about mind control, please email me. Don't send me tons and tons of information, because I cannot process that much. I'm fighting this fight since 2000, when I realized me and my family were victims of mind control. And, you know, this is all I do right now until I get a settlement. And Steve Davis tells me we're getting very close to a settlement via Orrin Hatch and Senator Martinez. Jeb Bush, who I hear is a very decent man. He's not like his father and his brother. I've been told that Al Gore is a very decent man. I don't know about global warming. I've been told that Senator Edwards is a very decent man. And they have been encouraging. You there, Don?